Let March 23rd be your wake-up call. Diabetes Alert Day on March 23rd focuses on the seriousness of diabetes and the importance of understanding your risk. The Pennyroyal District Health Department and its Diabetes Education Program want you to take a simple diabetes risk test. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org to take this quick test. The sooner you know you're at risk, the sooner you can take steps to prevent or manage diabetes.
Hello, welcome to our podcast, and welcome Dr. Jamie Perry, who practices medicine in Princeton, Kentucky, but is a native Marionite. She was born and raised here in Crittenden County before leaving for higher education and eventually medical school. Dr. Perry has a very, very busy lifestyle, and we will talk with her about that. As a medical professional, a wife of a paraprofessional high school basketball coach, and a mother of four, including her oldest son, who is quite renowned in his own right. And we will discuss all of this in detail as we get into our conversation today on the Crittenden Press Discover Marion, Kentucky podcast, where this month we are celebrating and highlighting women in our community as part of our coverage of Women's History Month. Dr. Perry, thank you for being with us here today.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you were able to stop in here to our so-called studio, which isn't in the most professional place in the world, but it is here at the Crittenden Press, and we appreciate your time. You, as far as I know, are one of only two practicing female physicians who hail from Crittenden County that are currently in practice, you know, right now. The other is Dr. Shayna Leslie, down in Paducah. Her husband, Blake Leslie, is also a doctor in Paducah. And then we also have an optometrist, Dr. Adria Mott Porter, who is here. But as far as physicians, and I apologize if there are others that I don't know about, and you may know of some, but that's pretty rare for Crittenden County, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I will give a shout out. I believe Christina Napper Brown now is a DO who is okay. In Marshall County okay. That graduated the year behind me.
Her father, Rick Napper, was a CEO, and they lived here for a while.
Yes.
I wouldn't say she was a native
right.
Crittenden County.
I think she graduated.
I believe she did, and she is at Marshall County.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
We've come up against her stepson this year, too. So I've run into
basketball?
Her not too long ago.
Okay,
yes.
He plays on the basketball team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get into some of this basketball stuff. But what I really want to delve into today is I want to hear from you. Who are the people in your life when you were growing up in this community who were an inspiration? Who were your models, the driving forces behind whatever you've done, either as a mother or in your professional career or any of that? So just tell us who they are.
Okay. Well, first, you know, probably the most influential woman in my life has been my mom, Deborah Boone Dutton. She was a nurse as I was growing up, so she worked in the healthcare field. Worked weekends when I was small and was home a lot. And then as we got older, she kind of expanded what she did. She actually became a nurse practitioner before I graduated from college. She became a nurse practitioner as well. And so she had always encouraged me, you know, to work hard and that healthcare was a good field to go into. And she told me once early on that I was smart enough, I probably didn't need to let somebody else be the boss, so to go ahead and just go to medical school. So
yeah.
She encouraged me along the way to do those things for sure.
And of course, I do know your husband quite well, and I can't imagine him not thinking he's the boss.
Well, you know, yes, at home he is. He might listen to this.
We'll get more into that. Your mother obviously was in the healthcare profession, and was she your only inspiration to go into healthcare, or did anyone else encourage you?
Well, probably she was my biggest inspiration to go into healthcare, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say just in my life in general, I'm very family-oriented as well, and that's one reason that we still live very nearby here is, you know, I have a big family, and I love my family, and they've always been very encouraging. My grandmother, Sue Boone, she had 8 children. My mom only had 2, you know, and then I went back with 4. So mm-hmm. I think I like that big family. Mm-hmm. So she was very influential just as a role model for a mother, a grandmother, and what I wanted, you know, with a big family to be, for sure. And then my dad's mom, Robbie Tabor, she actually, after her husband passed away, she went back to work as a dispatcher for a long, long time, you know, and so she definitely, you know, was a good role model for hard work and those kind of things as I was growing up, too.
Of course, in my line of work, I used to have a great deal of contact with the dispatchers, the 911 dispatchers. When they were in the old city hall, you could just kind of come and go. Security's changed since then, and, you know, it's a little tighter quarters over there at the dispatching center now. But back then, when Robbie Tabor was one of the dispatchers, and she did the night shift a lot. I think maybe later on she did more of the day shift, but oh, Robbie was a hoot, and you could pick her voice up on the dispatch. If you listen to a scanner, and hey, she was a hoot, and I loved her because we would sit and just talk, and I'd eventually find out what all went on the night before around the community, you know, which is my job. But.
Yes, yeah, and she actually went back to college, you know, as an adult, and got, I believe, an associate's degree, you know, as an adult, you know, so that was encouraging. Yeah,
were you, your family are Boones and Tabors. Now, those are very long-standing Crittenden County names and very large family, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
And, of course, as you mentioned, you do not live far away. Were there any other people in your life, school teachers or people in the business community here in Crittenden County that maybe influenced you along the way?
Well, I had lots of wonderful teachers. You know, some of them I even still interact with today in different capacities. I often mention my high school keyboarding teacher, Paula Porter.
Uh-huh.
As I'm, you know, now my work is on the computer a lot. Our charts are electronic. I take a laptop, you know, into the rooms with the patients, and I type pretty well. You know, I can be sitting there looking at the patients and listening to them, and I'm typing some of the important parts, you know, that I need to get down. And at least three times a week, somebody comments on my typing skills, and I always say that was probably one of my most important classes that still helps me today in high school was my keyboarding class in high school with Miss Paula Porter.
And what grade did you take typing?
I think as a freshman.
Yeah.
I think that was freshman year. Yeah. It actually, I went on to, through part of FBLA, to do a state and national keyboarding competition. Got to go to Anaheim, California through that after learning those skills. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is totally off the subject, but I never forget that I had typing class when I was in high school. And I used typing like yourself, you know, on a daily basis, obviously in my profession. But in my typing class, we took it as a junior, I'll never forget, we were in there and we had these old-fashioned typing machines that you had the long stroke keys on. And the teacher was an older woman, and Ronald, she came in, she walked out in the hallway, she came back in, she said, "Oh my God, Ronald Reagan has been shot." And that was when, you know, there was an assassination attempt on his life. And she actually went and wheeled in a TV on a cart and turned it on. So we were able to watch the news. So I'll never forget my typing class.
In my typing class, it was I believe it was called an electronic typewriter, to where you could type one line and edit it and then hit enter, and it would type the whole line across. Yeah. Not computers yet.
But. So when and where did you really say, "All right, I'm going to become a doctor"?
Well, I remember when I was young, I wanted to be an attorney. And then somewhere, late middle school, early high school, I think I changed to wanting to work in the healthcare field, just with influences being around my mom and those kind of things. And I knew that I wanted to come back to a small town. And so for me, that meant being, you know, a family medicine physician, so that I could have lots of opportunities to work in smaller areas where they didn't have as many specialists and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And your degree, you got your undergraduate degree at UK. Tell me a little bit about the process of becoming a doctor. How I know it's a long, protracted process that requires a lot of studying, so explain what that's like.
Okay, well, first, I'm the kind of person that just takes it one step at a time, so I don't think I went into it counting up how many years it would be. I just kind of take it one step at a time. So I started with undergrad. And I went to the University of Kentucky and got a biology degree. And enjoyed my time there. Still came home a lot. I'm still a homebody, so I still came home a lot. And then decided that I wanted to go on to medical school. So went through that whole application process and interviewed at several different medical schools. And wound up being lucky enough to be able to stay at the University of Kentucky for medical school as well. At that time, I was dating my husband, and he was looking at what pharmacy school he could go to. So I really had concentrated on finding, there aren't as many pharmacy schools. So I had tried to concentrate on the schools where he had a chance of going as well so that we could live in the same town. And it worked out that we both got to go to the University of Kentucky.
And of course, Ryan Perry is your husband, and he grew up here, graduated from Crittenden County High School, was a really good golfer in high school and played other baseball and basketball, and that's a big part of your life now. Let's just go ahead and jump right into that, because I know, gosh, you have four children, and tell us their ages, and talk to us about how you manage all that you manage, and what all do you manage?
Okay. Well, yes, I have four children that I'm very proud of. First, Travis is the oldest, and he's 15. And then Lily is my second. She's 13. Maddie is 9, and Parker is 6. So they keep me very busy. They're all four have been playing basketball over the past few weeks. And one day, between the four of them, we had 7 games in one day.
In one day?
Yes, I made it to all but one. So that's pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah. How do you manage that? I know you all have like a big rig you drive. It's got a bed in it, doesn't it, or something?
Well, we did have. We don't have that one anymore. Okay. It bit the dust. Yeah. So, yeah, I drive a Suburban, so it fits lots of people in it. But we did have that. Was a lot of fun for road trips for AAU ball for a lot of years there. Yeah.
And y'all have played all over. Travis, your oldest son, is just a phenom, and he's he's ranked, and I know they have these ranking services, and he is a freshman at Lyon County, which Lyon County is ranked number one in the basketball region right now. And he is, where's he ranked nationally?
You know, my husband will be disappointed. I haven't seen any real recent rankings to know for sure, but in the things I've seen over the last, year, he's been in the top 5 in at least 2 or 3 of the ranking sites that I've seen.
And that's,
they change all the time.
In the country.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's getting a lot of phone calls from schools already, colleges, isn't it?
Yes, there has been some interest expressed. Right now it's through like his high school coach and things like that. But yeah, he has had a lot of interest expressed, so we're really excited about his opportunities.
So as a mother, with your experience growing, you play basketball. I remember when you played basketball here, very good basketball player. And of course, I'm sure you and Ryan collaborate on how you deal with all this publicity that Travis gets and these phone calls that people are trying to attract his skills to their college. How do you, as a mother, what do you tell him? How do you keep him grounded?
Well, yes, that's one thing that really hasn't been that hard. I mean, I always pray that this continues to be the case, but he really has stayed pretty grounded the best I can tell. We keep him pretty grounded by making him take out the trash and take care of his little brother and sister pretty often at home, those kind of things. But he loves basketball, and I feel like he's just really thankful to get to play. And he loves his friends that he plays with, and for him it's just fun. I get nervous before big games, nervous for my husband coaching, nervous for my son playing, but he doesn't. He just goes out there and has fun, does his thing.
So what is the day in the life of a doctor, the wife of a pharmacist who's also a basketball coach, a paraprofessional basketball coach, with all these children playing in all these different arenas across the region. So what is your day? Do you get up and make breakfast, or how does all this work?
I do tend to get up first in the house, that's for sure. Yeah. And yes, I try to go walk in the morning on the days I can.
Well, you get up mighty early.
I do. And then get myself ready before it's time to get the youngest two up for school so that I can help them get ready. Some morning it's cereal at home, and some mornings, I might make cinnamon rolls or French toast sticks or something like that and get them to school. It works out good. The time I drop them off at school is time for me to go to work. and I have my day. You know, we definitely, one reason I definitely knew I wanted to come back home to Western Kentucky, and I knew I probably wouldn't have as many children if I didn't, is we have really great family support. My children have grandparents that are very helpful to us, that are willing to help pick them up from school and run them places in the afternoons. We also have some good friends there in Lyon County that help us out with afternoon schedules, because that's probably one of the hardest times, is right after school, getting everybody where they need to go. But I just kind of, every day we look at who needs to go where and reach out to friends and family for assistance and get them delivered. You know, Ryan, we're fortunate that his schedule has gotten to be a little bit flexible. He goes into work really early in order to get off in time to do his afternoon basketball duties and things like that. So he's off in the afternoon to help with the kids some too. And we just take it day by day and get everybody where they need to go.
So where and when is your downtime? And what do you do?
That is a good question. I find it here and there. You know, I definitely enjoy all the things that we do with the children. You know, spending our days, you know, playing ball and taking them places is considered downtime for me. You know, I get to relax. I have a lot of great friends I get to talk to at the games and things like that. I have been fortunate enough with my current job that I have went to a 4-day-a-week work schedule. So Mondays are a little bit of a downtime for me. I get to do some things for myself on Mondays, or at least take care of some running and appointments that I can't get done on the other days of the week. So that's been nice. Of course, that started last year about 2 weeks before the lockdown and the kids were home. So it hasn't been as much downtime as I thought it would be, because they've been home a lot more. But I've got to enjoy a lot of time with them too. So it's been good.
Yeah. So your practice, you live in Lyon County. Your practice is all that you do is in Caldwell County?
Yes, I work at a clinic in Caldwell County. We do serve, our practice area is definitely considered for sure Caldwell County and Lyon County, that we state that we serve. Of course, we have patients from other counties as well, some from Crittenden County, some from Hopkins County, mm-hmm. but my office is in Princeton where I work.
I bet you have a lot of friends and relatives that come over to see you for Marion, don't they?
We do have several, yeah.
So how is that treating friends and relatives?
Well, you know, there are some ethical dilemmas with treating relatives. I think they encourage us technically that, you know, not to treat immediate family members. But as long as we know, you know, when to seek extra help and extra care, I have a nurse practitioner in the office that, you know, can help with any sensitive situations as well. Around here, you know, everybody's used to only, you know, a few docs in the community. And so it's kind of just been the practice that it's nice to see a friend or a family member as your caregiver sometimes.
Sure. And how often do you get a text from a friend or a neighbor that says, hey, I've got this, this, and this as a symptom? What do you think that is?
Very often. Very often. That's part of it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's just part of what it is about being a doctor and having that sense of community. And I'm sure you have a lot of friends from all of these various facets that you're involved in, and I bet you get a lot of it.
I do, but I also have a lot of people I can reach out to when I have questions about things that they're better at. It hasn't been that long ago. Yeah. I called Adria with an eye question and was able to talk some things over with her, so it works out.
Good trade.
Yeah.
Good trade. Yeah. So during this past year with the pandemic, I'm sure that you know, we know the healthcare field has really been obviously on the front line of this. Take us through what it's been in your mind and your approach to all the COVID-19 situation, and where do you think we'll be in the coming months?
Well, definitely this last year has been different. You know, I think at first everything was so new, all the information coming at us. I think fortunately for me, I'm not in the administrative role at my clinic to make decisions about our day-to-day operations. But the folks that have done that, you know, early on, we really tried to limit the patients in the clinic. Patients were scared. You know, we were still figuring out how to safely take care of folks. So we have opened up a lot of telemedicine this year. I've done virtual visits on the computer, video visits with patients who feel more comfortable staying at home but still want to talk to me about things they're dealing with. We've done visits on the telephone, And then we definitely have ramped up our safety measures in our office with temperature screens and, you know, increased cleaning and increased personal protective gear for our staff. And so that's been really challenging to still be able to take care of the volume of needs that we need to take care of with those extra safety measures. I'm really encouraged about some of the, you know, definitely about the numbers that seem to be dropping right now in our communities, and also about the vaccine that's becoming more and more widely available to the folks in our area. So that's definitely given me hope, as some of my older patients who have been afraid to even get out of their house to go to the doctor or the grocery, you know, once they're having their vaccination, they're feeling more comfortable to be able to safely do those things. So I'm hopeful that, you know, I don't know what will happen with mask mandates and all those kind of things, but I'm hopeful that our numbers will continue to decline and our vaccination rates will continue to go up so that things can gradually go back to normal.
So in the beginning, when the vaccines first came out, I think there were a number of people who were perhaps a little leery of it. But I think now, I do not sense that fear right now among the vast population. Do you? And have you seen an evolution in that?
You know, I agree. You know, even early on when vaccination was being discussed, you know, it wasn't quite to the point of, you know, coming out yet. Even I was a little leery, you know, and started doing research. Definitely, there's a lot of different information coming at us, and it's a scary time. So as I've done more and more research, though, and I think as patients have done their own research and are seeing the devastating effects that COVID has had in certain areas, you know, I don't want to say the wrong numbers. I haven't been involved in it, but the nursing home in Princeton, for instance, they have around 80 residents, and I think around 22 residents passed away when COVID went through their facilities. Now, those, you know, they have all different medical conditions, you know, that were already there. But definitely the idea of vaccination for especially these vulnerable populations and the healthcare workers, I'm hopeful that we're not going to see those kind of numbers once the vaccinations are available and people are receiving those.
So throughout this pandemic, has it changed your lifestyle with, you know, as active as it is? I know in the beginning there was a shutdown, but beyond that, have, you know, being in the healthcare field, have you really kind of pulled your family in, or have you just kind of gone about?
Well, you know, yes, it definitely has been a big change over the last year. Last summer, the opportunities for travel basketball, you know, that we didn't do high school softball and baseball that my children were both going to do. Because those sports were canceled. So we found ourselves with a lot more downtime. We spent a lot more time at the lake last summer than we usually do. You usually get to because of not having those events. We did get to go to a few basketball tournaments last year. We didn't go to nearly as many as usual. I'm hopeful we're already seeing this summer that, you know, with some safety measures in place, that they're going to hopefully have more of those tournaments, and we plan to go.
Yeah, I believe one of the very few benefits that I have seen from this pandemic has been the fact that it did allow some families a little more time, a little more opportunity to get together and just be outdoors, like you said, at the lake or wherever, but to be together and stay in those close, safer groups that they recommended early on. So. Yeah, Jamie Perry, Dr. Jamie Perry, Jamie Tabor Perry, use both of those familiar Crittenden County names. Thank you so much for being here with us on the Discover Marion, Kentucky podcast. And as we celebrate women and highlight their history and all of their contributions to Marion and Crittenden County and the broader region too, because you are serving surrounding counties as well. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Let March 23rd be your wake-up call. Diabetes Alert Day on March 23rd focuses on the seriousness of diabetes and the importance of understanding your risk. The Pennyroyal District Health Department and its Diabetes Education Program want you to take a simple diabetes risk test. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org to take this quick test. The sooner you know you're at risk, the sooner you can take steps to prevent or manage diabetes.